Oh, you're not hardwired? Yeah.
All right, everyone that is here, big shout out. Thank you so much. You guys can hear us okay? Everything? I was getting nervous when I can't hear myself. Maybe I just
or
like
see
to,
ourselves.
I just like to hear myself.
I don't argue that.
We're super excited. We're super excited to be here. We did this, what, a month ago or so for the draft?
Yep.
It was an absolute blast. So we appreciate Ellie for having us. Thank you. Shout out to Ellie. That's right.
Awesome place for having us.
Natalia and Drake are great, and their staff is awesome. They do a great job every time, so thank you so much.
Yeah.
But tonight, we're here with three awesome guests. We're going to talk.
Big announcement, not a little announcement.
That's true. We got a lot to get. All of you tuning, truly all of you tuning live, thank you so much. One more shout out really quickly to DK.
DK is absolutely making it possible.
The producer of the year.
He's the man.
I think 8 months ago, DK didn't know how to do any of this. And he just learned it all on the fly and just did it all now. So, shout out. We got, of course, the one, the only, Kadri Ismail with us.
That's right.
Hey, Kadri, I was actually downstairs and I was waiting in line to go to the restroom. There was a guy with a Yankees hat on.
So I said,
look, we're talking Ravens upstairs. You want to come? He said, and I said, well, then you probably won't like that Kadri Ismail's here because of that Super Bowl for sure.
Bro, I'll let you know this. Every time I've seen a Giants fan, and they have a storied history, they've won their championships, they've had their, you know, stalwarts of you know, great players that have come through that organization. Mm-hmm. And without fail, I mean, a couple of my friends are really good, you know, Giant fans, and they're like, Oh, you're the Ravens. Bad memories. You beat us. I was like, oh, 34-7? I'm sorry, what?
And that seven wasn't even an offensive touchdown.
I think that seven still bothers those guys on defense.
Oh, from the – it really didn't matter. Obviously, my boy – Jermaine Lewis came back with a clutch kick off return of his own.
Favorite Raven of all time, dude.
There you go. There
mine's
you go.
Kadri, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, give me some love.
Jermaine, awesome. But that memory was amazing. That defense was obviously legendary, greatest defense.
So Glenn, we got a lot of things to talk about tonight.
We
got a couple. I want to talk about. D-Hop has been released.
Come on now.
I want to talk about, obviously, the wide receiver room. We got wide receiver one with us, so we might as well talk about these wide receivers.
Got to.
Let's do it.
And we're going to bring up the hottest of hot takes that you had not long ago.
Yes.
Surrounding the tight end room. I got to get you to further clarify your comments on your expectations on Charlie Kohler. But we're going to get there in due time.
Yep.
But I think we – to start with Hopkins, right?
Yeah,
I
for mean, sure. And while we do all this, of course, Tony Thornton is with us and Cordell Woodland is with us.
Yeah,
we'll have them coming
shout out as well.
We wouldn't be here without them, so absolutely. And we gotta get a shout out to T as well.
Oh, T, killing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
he's cooking.
That's right. But yeah, let's get into it. We gotta talk about D Hop. Something interesting about the release is that they ate $22.5 million in dead money to release DeAndre. If I'm not mistaken, Glenn, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but right after that, him and OBJ were working out in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
The recruiting apparently has already started, but we've got, let's remember, Rashad Bateman coming back, obviously, who's already back, you know, at OTAs.
Looking good.
We've got Zay Flowers, who I don't want to make too many comparisons, but Zay Flowers looks like he is everything as advertised and maybe better. Mm-hmm. And then OBJ, of course, there. And let's not forget about Nelson Aguilar, who's to be fourth for Nelson Aguilar.
Dropping babies. We're good.
That's right. Dropping babies. So let's talk about it, Kadri. If the in a dream scenario, do you like the D-Hop addition, if that were a possibility here in Baltimore?
I think everything from the back of the jersey aspect of things, it looks awesome. It looks amazing. He's a tremendous talent. Duke can flat out play. I remember calling the game against the Houston Texans, and Jimmy Smith was guard on one, and out route came back, came with the in cut. did a little stutter go down the ball field, and you can see where Jimmy was on his skates. With that said, there's also the overall chemistry of 22 guys being able to gel. Obviously, you know, those guys that are on offense, those 11 have to really just know their role and know how to play together. This organization has built itself on play like a Raven. Play like a Raven means there's a level of awareness of who you are and who you are next to. Interconnected chemistry for that squad. Win, lose, or draw, we're going to go out together. And I think, you know, D-Hop has put himself on that platform where he's the upper tier, you know, alpha dog and reality and would totally gel with the ball club.
That's interesting because ultimately one ball, right? There's only one football. We haven't even talked about, obviously, Lamar Jackson is dynamic as a playmaker. We got an all-pro tight end and an interesting tight end room that we'll get into in a little bit.
Oh, I can't wait. but on the fact that Rashad Bateman's had injury cut, you know, true. He's had seasons cut short by injury. Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't played a full season in quite some time. What about those who say, yeah, we look, remember the strongest cornerback room? They said, man, we got to cut a good corner. And then boom, 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 we lose corners, and now we're picking guys up on scrap heap. What about those who say, let's just make a strong unit stronger, double down, this is an all-in year? What do you say to those? Hey, we at all costs got to get Hopkins in here.
I would say that, yeah, you play with fire, you just might get burned. And I think that's something that, you know, it's such a fine line from – you know, getting guys again with the names on the back of their jerseys to actual understanding of who you are as a team. You know, remember Lamar Jackson, a good friend, Sarah Ellison, she actually tweeted out that, remember Lamar Jackson won his Super Bowl MVP, not Super Bowl, thank you. It's going to happen.
That's right. Just manifesting it.
There you go. That's what I'm projecting forward.
That's right.
But we're going to look back to 2019 where he was unanimous MVP for the league. And, you know, he had just a group of guys. It wasn't a star-studded room of guys. He had a group of guys. But those guys knew each other well, knew their roles, and they went out and they did their thing. And I think that's something that you got to really, really look at. And it's such a hard thing to wrap your brain around, if you will, when it comes to, yeah, I absolutely think the world of, you know, D-Hop and his talent, but, you know, is it what the Ravens need at this moment when it comes to what you're trying to develop from a chemistry standpoint?
I like it. So one of the things that's really cool about doing this live, and we talked on this show, is we want to absolutely have participation from you guys here sitting with us today. That's right. So one of the things I wanted to know is, does anyone disagree? Does anybody feel like D-Hop is an answer? We need to go out and get him. Where are we? What side of the fence? Raise your hand if you're Camp D-Hop.
Nana says she's Camp D-Hop. We got hands going up.
All right. Cordell's going to have to come up here in D-Hop a second and defend his take. So he's putting his hand up hesitantly. He's like, nah, do I want to jump into this one or not? This is my other question, Glenn. I'll field this one to you. If not using any sort of money we can come up with in this scenario to demonstrate we're all in, you know, going to get D-Hop, then what's the other option, right? Like, who else out there to go get and to use that money to go all in, right? Like, what are – obviously, we probably have an edge. We just corner. Signed it like a vet, D-line, corner. Yep. Are there some other opportunities for us to go out there and properly use that money?
Properly using the money is where it's at because of the fact that, yes, there is a 53-man roster that you're trying to build. You're trying to put yourself in position when it comes to the D-line. We've got the young man from Chicago. I think that's going to be a great addition for the D-line. I'd love to see, you know, another guy perhaps maybe later in camp or later as the season starts to come on to pass. Asked who would get, you know, re-sign a Justin Yoda Houston.
That's,
you know,
right.
JPP.
Yeah, absolutely. I think flash name.
Yeah.
But there is a roster to build. And yes, right now from a receiver room aspect, yeah, you do have what you need. You do have some, you know, young guys who haven't quite proven themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, guys like Poe, who, as far as his career, would top my board. But yeah, I think from a D-Hop standpoint, you know, my opinion, from what I know, I think that it is something where it doesn't look like, and I could be wrong, doesn't look like a great fit.
Gotcha. Mm. Yeah, it's yes.
I mean, I got so excited when I saw Kadri. I mean, I'll be honest, doesn't seem like it would affect his game that much, because his game isn't predicated on this top flight speed. It's just, right. He's had that toughness and physicality that seems like it would fit. But man, I guess you know, keeping it real for us here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm breaking your heart.
Yeah, you are.
I'll
be honest. You know what I mean? I'm sad.
So one of the things that I have to do in every live show, because it's Glenn's favorite thing, is I have to. Be production wise, this guy or that guy.
Okay.
Right? So it's just okay. Simply who all you right. Think is gonna because I think there's a lot of positions where okay. Yeah, there's a lot. Glenn, see, I got you with this.
Glenn is
this
feeling one. Better now.
That's we're right. Bored. That's right.
We got him
so
out of his
position
goals.
Where I want to start though is at the edge. I want to talk. Everyone's yeah. Talking about Jabo and Owe, right? Like, so if you're talking production, we'll just go by sacks because, like, that's the number everyone looks at, right?
Yeah.
Ajabo and Owe do other things, and everyone talks about how Owe is getting leading the league in holds and all these other things that seem like big justifications for him not getting the job done. But all that being said, it really what I want to know is
taking shots.
Production this year, Owe or Ajabo? Where are you – if you had to put your money somewhere, there's money on the line.
Wow. My mind was – it was – team, let's kick butt, take names later, Odafe Owe and David Ajabo. I didn't know they were like competing against one another.
Well,
I mean, I thought it was more like meet at the quarterback type of a
mindset.
It's a race to the quarterback. That's what it is.
Yeah. So who's winning the race the most?
I would say, see, Odafe, the talent, mm-hmm. But for whatever the reason, he has not had the ability to finish.
Well, let me ask you about that.
Go ahead.
You are the movement coach.
Okay. All right.
When you watch so when you look at Odafe Owe, he looks like a sculptured human. The dude is just
yes.
A perfect fit for the role. Right?
Right, right.
But when you look at Owe, he's not quite there, just from an imagery perspective, but a more fluid athlete. Do you agree with that? What's your take on that? And does the maybe the robotic movement from Owe have anything to do with him not getting home?
Okay, so Odafe literally – I know he has trained with some of my guys to enhance his durability, to enhance the with the board,
mm-hmm.
How he can use his knowledge and understanding, because his knowledge and understanding is now all about, you know, the nuance of the game and how to set a guy up when the quarterback is dropping back or we're in this certain set or if they're in this certain look or this tackle, he has this tendency or that tendency. You know, how are you going to be able to attack it in certain ways? You know, that's where I think you can get lost in the weeds. And if you use just your athletic ability, you're not going to last long in this league. It's about the nuance. You talked about, real quick, going back to D-Hop. You're like, well, he's not a burner, so he's not necessarily having to rely upon his speed. And you're right. If you look at a guy like, say, an Anquan Boldin, where for Anquan, how did he always seemingly get open? How was he always right. Available? You know, there were little nuances that he just knew to help him as far as understanding the concepts of the play, the concepts of the route. And so I think for Odafe, it's about hopefully understanding, you know, what Chuck Smith brings to the table for him and then implementing it once he has that base of knowledge.
Well, fingers crossed, I'll tell you this. We had an ongoing bet last year? was it last season?
Where you had to eat the microphone? That was his rookie year.
If he got double digit sacks, I had to eat my microphone cover.
So he had to eat the whole thing, swallow it down.
You would have had a colonic thereafter.
Right. And guess how many minutes of my life I was worried?
There was a couple in the beginning. When he got the early four, you were a little nervous.
Glenn was putting salt on your microphone.
Hot sauce.
He was like, this is going to be so tasty.
Yeah, I was cutting up avocado in the corner.
Ooh, just little slices of it.
I was legitimately thinking about ways I could consume it. I was like, I could throw it in my blender.
Yeah, you could just whip it up.
We had people telling me, please do not eat this.
Man, you would have had on the way. You would have had forever plastics all stuck up in your gut.
Exactly. Just forever.
The transverse colon would have been transversely stuck.
Come on in. Come sit down.
We got space.
We got seats. There's TJ right here. You can slide these around.
We got seats here.
Oh, yeah.
So, Cordell, why don't you come up here?
Cordell.
That's all right.
Take your food and come up here. And
yeah, that's right.
You didn't even offer us any either. Look at you. It was all greedy about it. Man. You're like, oh, here, have some. Right. No, you can't.
So,
anyone don't know, Cordell Woodland runs the 6 o'clock show, Shake It Up Sports.
Cordell.
Also, Ravens and Orioles insider. And so before we go any further, I know that the one thing I really love and respect about Cordell is that when he has an opinion, he doesn't get influenced by others, trying to sway him in their direction.
To a fault.
But I think it's something that should be commended for it. So what is your take on DeAndre and kind of the Ravens bringing him in?
Well, let me first acknowledge the fact that I don't know more about the wide receiver position than the guy across from me. Let me clarify that.
Gotcha.
But I definitely get everything that Kadri is saying, and it all makes sense. There is a certain type of Ravens, the Ravens way is real. Mm-hmm. Ravens culture is real. And if you're going to be a part of that organization, you have to kind of jump on aboard a moving train and get along with what they're doing. That said, and you can never have, everybody wants the perfect team. Everybody wants to be able to have the fully balanced team. I would rather have the best offense in today's game than the best defense. And for me, when you look at the Ravens wide receiver core and you look at Bateman, you look at Beckham as the top two guys, there are major questions for me right there. Mm-hmm. And I think the Ravens have shown that they can be a team that can win in the regular season. I mean, they everybody knows that they can get to the playoffs, but what about the next step? What is going to be the thing to get you over the top? And I think for me, adding DeAndre Hopkins on the board, the Ravens have to, for me, if Lamar Jackson's your quarterback, if I'm the Ravens and I'm thinking Super Bowl, the offense has to be the best part of my team.
Right.
And you add DeAndre Hopkins into that mold with what they have this year, you're already kind of showing with the moves that you've made that this is kind of – you're going for it right now. Mm-hmm. Why not keep going with that? And I hear the edge rush and the corner, for sure. But when you look at both what's available at edge rusher and corner, are anybody available in those two groups better than DeAndre Hopkins?
Not
Marcus Peters. He's not better than DeAndre Hopkins.
No,
but.
I'm not against bringing Peters back. I like the Rock Ya-Sin move for sure.
Yeah.
And for me, that makes me even more comfortable to bring Peters back because it's less on his plate.
Yep.
But for me, if D-Hop's out there, man. If he wants to come to Baltimore, if he's interested in the Ravens, I believe the Ravens should be interested in him.
Interesting. There you go. I like it. Let's cut that one.
I mean, that was very good. I'm not. It's not about us.
Right.
Okay?
For sure. So they're going to do what they want to do.
They're going to do what they're going to do.
Right. Yeah.
But you do make extremely good points. I think from my experiences, there have been scenarios where you've seen guys who have tremendous resumes, the name on the back of the jersey. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to the fit for the team, it just didn't work out. And I think in this particular case, let the Ravens do their due diligence. But I think, I know on Twitter, I was like, oh, man, ever since Twitter is the wild, wild west.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Wow. And you say one thing, mother of pearl, you could be like, oh, man, you know what? I really like tacos. And all of a sudden somebody just like, mother beep. What's wrong with, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I didn't say anything. Well, yeah. I mean, I like quesadillas too. Right. Like, you know, golly. So you have like this craziness mentality when it comes to Twitter. But with all that said, I was off on the Wiz when Lamar was about to do his thing and Dorothy, AKA Diana Ross, y'all weren't alive back then.
I like
the Wiz was awesome. It was. And then all of a sudden, when she boom killed the Wicked Witch of the West, all of a sudden flushing down the toilet, and then all of a sudden all that nasty skin coming off. Can you feel a brand new day? So then all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness, it's a brand new day. We don't got to worry about G-Row anymore. We don't got to worry about all that. We don't got to worry about sitting there by tripping on whether or not we got to run the ball, we got to pants here, we got to do all this. Man, this is awesome. Then all of a sudden draft day comes around. Bam, Lamar signs. Can you feel a brand new day? So I was like still in that mindset when they said they released D-Hop. I was like, can you? Oh, well, let me go ahead.
Oh,
yeah.
Sources.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, what you thinking?
Oh,
I didn't think about it that way. Mother of Pearl. So I kind of had to back off my fandom, put on the cap of the NFL person that knows stuff and was like, yeah, we can't do it.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. So okay. So this is more than what's on the field is what basically.
I'm saying that the fit.
Okay.
The fit
all right.
It has to have a relationship fit. That's all.
Well, yeah. We're going to get to some hot takes. We're going to do a hot take by Kadri, of course. I'm going to keep teasing this because Glenn and I have been talking about this and we're excited about it. But because have been a Twitter spur of the moment thing is that we've picked up and carried.
Yeah. But making this bigger than it was. Right. But
ultimately,
y'all were making it bigger than what it was.
Right. Before we get to it, I want to keep with this old, you know, this guy, because I don't know how much a hot take is, but I'm excited about the, you know, the three headed monster in our wide receiver room. Mm-hmm. I'm not disrespecting Nelson Agholor. I think he has the potential to have a big year because of the role that he's in. The scope is not too wide for him. The expectations, the matchup he'll have, I think will favor him in a lot of scenarios. But you're talking about OBJ, Rashad Bateman, and Zay Flowers. You're talking about production in this coming year. If you had to put your money on one guy, I'm just going to say it straight up, I'm the most excited about Zay Flowers. I think
he's by a shiny new toy, right?
I think by the end of the year, and anybody can cut my head off if they want, I think he's our wide receiver one. I absolutely do. No, that's fine. I think he is.
Ooh, I'm LOL'd over here.
I'm super excited about him. Look, Glenn said it really easy. What are the chances? What are the chances that Rashad and OBJ even make it?
I'm drinking water.
What are the chances they make it even 16 games?
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, right. I think Zay's going to be there every game. I think he's also going to lead the team in reception.
He's a rookie, though.
He's going to get a lot of underneath stuff. I think a lot more than those guys. I think he's getting an opportunity. He's going to get his opportunity.
Have some yak.
Well, yeah, let me. So
now make sure we have you back on when I'm right.
I mean,
you'll
have me back on. Period.
That's right. You know, that's right.
And then I was going to be like, oh, Kadri. I'm just going to start eating my microphone.
That's right. Yeah. You want to make another bet here? You want to make another wager here?
You know, the forever plastics are going to be inside of me.
We're not talking about Mr. Zero Sex in college at Dominic. So.
Wow.
Ooh, man. I'm a Boston College receiver.
Throwing the zinger.
You know what I'm saying? Just, man, we are Penn State. Thank goodness I don't like them. So, here's the Syracuse.
Yeah, you went to Syracuse. That's right. Yeah, there we go.
Orange. All right. Whoa, now? What's up?
So, am I on an island here? Is no one
you
else?
Are so far hey, on an island.
Fan? No. I'm talking about Zay.
Wide receiver one.
Yeah, I think you're on the island.
That's what, so give me your takes. Because I can't even trust the other two to be healthy.
Well, I mean, just the fact that he's a what? Oh, I don't know, rookie?
No, that's fine.
And
Hollywood Brown was our wide receiver one when he's a rookie.
Hollywood Brown had no choice.
That's true. He had no choice. Yeah.
And at the same time, he was in a scenario where he had two tight ends that were ballers that Lamar was very comfortable throwing to. And then everybody's like, oh my God, we got to bring safeties up. Ooh, wow, there's a burner going right by him. Bing, down the field, boom, touchdown. Now you got the Miami game starting it all off. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you had a dominant run game. You had tight ends that were killing it. Mm-hmm. You had no choice but to put a corner out there on a burner, the likes of Hollywood. Because what happens also, if you don't do anything, now all of a sudden you're going to disrespect eight and he's going to take off as well. So eight on the chest gives you a lot of leeway and comfort.
Yeah.
So I'm making your point, but here's why I step on your point. number one, I think from an F minus aspect of things, F minus ain't in the building. If F minus is not in the building, yep. Then you're going to have an opportunity to be healthy. Number two, when it comes to,
he's got it.
Took him a minute. Yeah. Stick with us.
His name will not be spoken.
I'm on F-. The back of the truck.
He's like Voldemort.
So that, and that's a real thing. I mean, I think you know, F minus puts you in a lot of pressure situations that are unnecessary. When it comes to the bigger picture of nuance and getting open and making yourself available, like Zay in t-shirt, shorts, and a helmet is going to look like a stud. But wait till the defenses start getting complex. Mm-hmm. Wait till homeboy starts to jam you up on the line of scrimmage. You're like, wait a minute. In college, man, I was wide open. Now they're jamming me, and they're jamming me, and it hurts. Yeah. And I got to jog back to the line of scrimmage. So that is a real thing. Whereas you're going to have Devin Duvernay, who has a wealth of experience. You're going to have Nelson Aguilar with a wealth of experience. You're going to then talk about guys battling for receiver one when it comes to, yes, OBJ, been there, done that. When it comes to Bateman, who's saying to himself, yeah, I don't got to worry about F minus, but I do got to shake off this perception of who everyone thinks I am. So you got guys who have incentives to go out there and produce. Zay, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. I mean, I don't know, but this game right now seems a lot easier to me. But yeah, you haven't experienced what it's like to go up against Cincinnati. You haven't experienced what it's like to travel to Pittsburgh. You're going to be traveling abroad to play who, the Titans?
Yeah.
Then you have to get back up on the plane. Your legs are going to be sore. You're going to be sitting there. Oh, my legs are cramping because I don't know how to drink water and recover.
That's how I look on the toilet.
Oh, God. Oh, you look like this.
You look on the toilet.
Yeah, well.
That's how I look on the toilet, guys.
There you go, Glenn.
You know, I'm not much of an athlete here.
As long as you wipe your hands afterwards, you're good. Scrub them really well.
Right. 20 seconds.
Get in between the nails, too, because, you know.
Very good.
So, Cordell, tell me what your thoughts are.
Tell me, Cordell.
I'm okay being on an island.
I think Zay Flowers is going to, if health allows him to, will be good. I mean, and it's so early right now. I was out at OTAs the other day. They're not even in pads yet right now, you know, so they're not allowed to barely even breathe on these guys. So, of course, he's eating in the middle of the field. He got a lot of targets in the team drills the other day. I think when he gets the ball in his hands, he can be dangerous. He has some open field ability to make guys miss. He does struggle with the concentration drops, and he almost had one the other day that I saw him have a couple of times when I watched his college tape. But all in all, I think he'll be really good. That said, in terms of number one, I'm still struggling with the idea that Mark Andrews isn't still going to be the number one
guy
in this offense.
That's fair.
I have to kind of see that to believe it, that somebody will be able to outproduce him in the past game. But if we're going strictly receivers, man, just, and Bateman only did individual drills the other day, but he was so smooth. He's just so smooth. And if, I mean, the health thing is the biggest issue with him. And even before the injuries last year, he still had consistency issues because he'd have his times when he'd just disappear. You wouldn't see him. And now how much of that is him? How much of it was the offense that they were in? I don't know. We'll see this year.
Well, everything's Greg Roman's fault.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and so
I'm being sarcastic.
Right, of course.
That's just what people say.
And this is supposed to be a more player-friendly offense this year. So we'll see. But if I had to pick right now, I think it'll be Bateman. I think Beckham will be, a good year for Beckham will be if he can be the guy to just take the pressure off the guys over the middle. If he can get Mark Andrews some one-on-one situations, if he can open it up for Zay Flowers to eat across the middle of the field, that's a win in my book.
In January.
Yeah, I mean, if he can produce, that's great. Sure. And if he can stay on the field, that's great. But I'm not – I struggle with trying to equate Beckham's success with stats because I don't know what to expect from him from a statistical standpoint. I'm looking for more impact. Him on the field, can he be the guy that defenses have to key on enough to open somebody else up? Yeah. Because the thing in this Ravens offense has been the fact that nobody's getting open. So now with more spacing, now with that, what I would imagine to be a better schematical fit from a passing standpoint, can Beckham just be enough of a asset for them to open it up for everybody else?
Cordell, I think my question to you is, when you say impact, what's the over under? Is it 8 over under as far as, and I think his huge impact is going to be red zone production. So tell us that when that inside of 20, inside of 25, are you over under on 8?
On as, 8 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Tell us now. Come on. I'd have to say under.
Oh,
I'd have to say under.
Mother of pearl.
But I do for that, for what you're saying, that's where I think Beckham has to show up the most. If we're talking about from a statistical standpoint, that's where him being able to catch in traffic, him being able to make some of those spectacular catches, him being able to win in one-on-one and use his crazy good route running ability. I mean, he has the wiggle to escape from guys unlike few other in this league. In tight spaces inside the 20s, that's where he should be the bread and butter. He, Kolar, and Mark Andrews
Super Bowl, right?
Should be it.
Red zone.
Well,
red zone.
Here's a thing, too, because I want to circle back to the Zay Flowers. When you talked about Zay as far as right now and everything, what I saw was Isaiah Likely from last year have a amazing camp, then blew up tremendously in preseason, but then all of a sudden the bright lights came in. And I remember after the Jets game, went down to the locker room, and you know, I saw John. I was like, John, what are you gonna tell your guy? He goes, yeah, no, I know it's early, you know. And John was calm about it. He's like, you know, he'll get it. And it took him a bit, Isaiah Likely, to get it, because it's different when it's the bright lights compared to when it's the preseason.
No doubt, yeah.
So we're going to see a lot of Zay do some Zay-like things in the preseason. We got to hold our tongue on jumping to conclusions. But with that said, you have now an Isaiah Likely who is a year older. I look back on to the Beckham thing, Jacksonville, when we're playing Jacksonville, and with our boy's name who had a pretty good game. Could have had a better game. The tight end, he's no longer
Oliver.
Oliver had a seam route, and everybody was tripping on Lamar for the way in which he threw. He's like, oh, you know, he should have, you know, he let him too much. I was like, no,
he did not.
It was 2 yards in the end zone, and where he was at, to where he threw it, that is the landing point. And so Oliver, as he was going, he did a classic. Oh, I'm open and turn around and hoping that it was an easier catch. And then he had to re-accelerate to catch it. He dropped it. So that was a drop. I'm saying now you put in a guy like an Odell. Huh, bro, that's like six. Yeah. You don't even have to think about that.
Right.
So go ahead and try and stop a guy like Mark Andrews, or go ahead and try to stop Odell. Pick your poison. That's what I'm saying. Like that 8 over. I think he can get to 8 and over when it comes to those red zone type of plays, and all these things will be added onto you when it comes to like scoring more than just, you know, 21 points. Like we're looking back at 2019 where they were just scoring every time they got into the red zone. I think this is going to be an explosive year.
Real quick. And to that point, definitely when you get a new offense, you get a boost. Like we saw the first year with Roman, I think that there's something to be said about the newness in the NFL when it's that first year of it and it's new. You do get a uptick, and I'm adding that uptick that they naturally would get with the morale boost that comes with getting a new offensive coordinator, getting new weapons. I think they'll take a jump. But in terms of me picking the under, I that's more so me bringing in the conversation of there's only one ball into play in that. And I think Andrews is still going to be a target monster. Where does Kolar and Likely fall in, you know,
and
not necessarily like I'm not the hugest guy on Kolar like some other people.
Because we got the hugest
and I'm not against him.
We got the big guy.
I'm not against him. I just wonder will the tight end position be as prevalent in this offense as it was in the past one? I don't know.
It certainly was at Georgia.
It was because
Muffin says my best players are the guys who eat. And I don't think there's
but we're looking at from a Tampa Bay experience, from a Cleveland experience.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just, you know, everybody was like, look at Georgia. Yeah, look at Georgia. He was trying to do what he needed to do to help that team do its best and whoop up on everybody in the SEC. Now, when it comes to the elephant in the room.
Let's talk about
DK, if you can
how is Holder looking
if you can find this
far?
Tweet
from Kadri by some chance.
Find it somewhere along the line. I did not delete it.
It's one of the things.
All I know is Charlie Cole. All I'm saying is last year, so, you know, Charlie was kind of like, you know, in the weeds because he had the sports hernia. Mm-hmm. That's part, you know, of F minus in college and then F minus in the pros. Telling you, F minus is everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere, man. Watch out for him.
You do. You gotta.
We got a guy. If you guys need a phone call, we got a guy.
So, we do got a guy.
We got a guy.
Ain't F minus A
plus. That's right. A plus.
A plus.
That's what I like to hear.
So that being said, when it comes down to it, I think his overcoming the F minuses in his life, the mental focus for me was what was like. It was like a little subtlety. I forget what was his first game back. I was like, all right, you know, Charlie, well, you know, let's see, you know, he's active. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Good. Oh, wow. He did some things. All right. Great. Then he comes back his next game. I wish I could just pull up his stats because he makes this beautiful catch and it told me so much. It was like, number one, the way you ran your route, you ran it with discipline. Number two, the fact that you ran it with authority. And when you snatched it, you had a little something, something mm-hmm. afterwards. That means you're locked in the entire year as a rookie. Mm-hmm. You're not sitting there like, well, I'm in rehab mode and I'm just going to sit here and just, you know, oh, wow, good for you, Isaiah. Oh, buddy, gosh, golly, you know, Mark Andrews is such an awesome player. He's all pro. I wish I can grow up to be like him. No, he was like, yeah, I'm about to do this. Yeah, so, okay, since he did it against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I figured
it out. Okay, Cincinnati. Now
that coin toss game, right?
I'm telling you right there, boy, that Cincinnati Six game. Targets. Okay, mm-hmm. So in my mind, when you look at literally Charlie did not flinch.
Yeah.
When you see the bigger picture of a thing called the salary cap, mm-hmm. all I'm just simply saying is that let me even put the salary cap aside just for a hot second. When you talk about yes, Mark Andrews being a stud, and we're talking about next step, we're talking about all in. Let Isaiah feast at the table. He's going to feast. That's why I'm not even, you know, tripping. He's going to do his thing. Nice. He's a year under his belt. He's got the it factor in my mind.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Mark, every time we've seen him,
oh no,
he's had some knick-knack injuries at the end of the year. Oh, they're not cutting him.
Okay. We're about to get blocked on Twitter.
Pat Queen already blocked
us. My wife told me to stop being a bully on Twitter.
It wasn't me. But he could be trade bait.
Trade bait.
Ooh. So I'm not saying this is just Kadri fanboy opinion. This is just. I got something in my throat.
So I have a quick.
But
follow-up
this is just fanboy. This sure. isn't okay. some kind of like, well, you know, no.
Yeah, yeah. So I do have a question though. You're talking. I kind of want to dig a little deeper on what you're mentioning with Kohler. So it sounds like this is just the novice listening to what you're saying. When there was a play that he made where he kind of saw the whole picture, right?
Correct.
Like he didn't seem like
not rookie before. Year.
Right.
Oh, this is he came right in, and that was late in the year. That was at January 8th. I mean, that's real deal football.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like you're going to either show up or you're not going to show up. That's what I'm saying. Like, no disrespect to Zay, but like January football is a whole different of like intensity, you know, fan base, everything. Everybody like, oh, we ain't come out here to be cold. We coming here to win. What's up? Last two games of the year, we trying to win. Oh, we got a Christmas Day game?
Yeah.
Well, homeboy, when you go out there to Levi Stadium, go ahead, put your jeans on. Let's go.
Chase,
now, that's where I'm saying for Charlie, the lights didn't get. So now let him come back healthy, get rid of the F minus, and now let him go out there and be able to run around. That's where I'm saying, like, ooh. Like, it's a ooh. Oh, wow. Everybody's talking about all these other guys. Mm-hmm. Charlie Kohler. That's all I'm saying.
Like
I ain't
it.
Tripping.
Hey, Red Zone threat. Charlie Kohler. Big. He's a big boy.
And Glenn, this is one of the things that Glenn said, very similar about Ajabo when he came back late last year, that he seemed like he had put it together.
Tell him, Glenn.
Relatively quickly.
That's
He got that.
Not loafing through the meetings when they're injured. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was – it just looked like they were far more prepared than a typical rookie would coming off of injury with virtually no play time. But I just had to get some more clarification on the what they were going to do with Mark Andrews. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying that Mark, the reason what sparked this in my mind was, number one, you're talking about, you know, the all in. You're talking about taking away a run-centric, tight-end, dominant offense,
And now 53 in the third, you're defending the field. And so you got in some people that can do such things on the outside. Yep. We ain't dropping babies in the fire. So all those dudes are going to be feasting. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, all I'm saying is go ahead and have a little foot injury like you had before.
Yeah.
Go ahead and sit back and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you know, I got shoulders walking around. Okay? Next thing you know, you're going to be sitting there talking about, man, so this is what Hayden Hurst was talking about.
Yeah, one of those tweets where it's like life comes at you fast.
I'm telling you,
you know,
can't have your job taken. I mean, you watched Isaiah Likely last year.
Yep.
His best games were when Mark Andrews didn't play. You know, and I think that's one of their biggest faults. If you put some truth serum in them last year when their receivers are all decimated, to not find a way to get Likely involved, even with Andrews on the field.
Yeah, how do you get production out of both of them?
And that's my thing. And I think Likely, without a doubt, should be involved in this offense.
Yeah.
Some way, somehow. He's too good. And I think Kohler in the red zone, that's probably where you're going to get more bang for your buck with him. I'm just curious to see how they end up putting all these bodies on the field, because for once, it's a good problem for this offense to have.
Here's the thing, Cordell, too, because if you are looking at, all right, we're taking you away, we dare you to beat us. If Charlie is doing what he's doing confidently, again, looking back at Cincinnati, if he's doing what he's doing confidently, and at the same time, you got some, you know, schlep of a guy, there's not many schleps of a guys in the NFL. I mean, they're all, you know, next level. So let me not say it that way. But in your, you know, roster, he's not your number one guy. He's on Charlie. And at the same time, what do we hear from Lamar? Yeah, I'm given more freedom. Monk is saying to me, if you see something.
Go with it.
And now if I'm Charlie, I'm like, hey, man, I just want to let you know, you know, 51 can't cover me.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, look, oh, I know Odell and Zay and all the other guys are talking, but 51 can't cover me. Oh, I'm in the red zone. 51 can't cover me.
Just letting you know.
Oh, look, Andrews is double cover. Oh, Odell's double cover. 51 can't cover me. Like, I'm dropping some subliminal messages.
Yeah, let them know.
51 can't cover me.
Right.
Throw me the ball. I'm Charlie Kohler. Right. That is all. I mean, and next thing you know, you look back and it's like, he scored again. Wow, he scored again.
Take advantage of those opportunities, because Isaiah Likely started the season with this hype coming off of preseason.
Yeah.
We saw him stumble out of the gate. I know that Charlie had a glimpse last year, but I just hope that when given the opportunity that he takes advantage of it. Because if he misses if he runs a bad, you know, the wrong route, if he ends up in the wrong spot, if he blows the catch, he could find himself in the John Harbaugh doghouse.
Infamous. And you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And to Kadri's point, for Kohler's first game to be that Bengals game late in the year, granted, in the grand scheme of things, that game was meaningless, obviously, by the people that the Ravens decided to start that game. But it's still, you know, a different brand of football playing that time of year. For that to be his first game and him to come out there and play the way he did, that was impressive.
Right. What stuck out to me about him, just as a side note, being that I'm an expert at all things tight end, is his use of his body. Like he looked like I'm sure he played high school basketball, was an incredible rebounder. The way that he was able to create space with his body, it just seemed very natural to me. You know, in that game, it was very easy to see, because I don't know. I feel like that's one of the things that is maybe a little more difficult just to teach. Some people have it by instinct, and he had it right away from the jump.
That's a mental toughness element of it all. I know, John, you know, again, you're right. Maybe people on the outside thought it was meaningless, but that jazz is a job audition.
Oh, yeah.
When you're talking about playing late in the year and it's a division opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that there's a lot. There's bragging rights on there, everything, all that. And so in all of that, you're not being active if you don't have it. I think part of the reason why some of the receivers in years past in the G-Row system didn't get on the field was their lack of the mental preparation to stay on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't be trusted
with
knowing your assignment. If you can't know your assignment, you're not going to play.
No doubt.
So what we're going to do is we're going to tag Cordell out. We're going to tag Tony in. But we're gonna have you come back on for sure. We're gonna,
oh, we got a big announcement, Cordell.
And
oh,
okay. We need you on for that.
We need you for that big announcement.
I won't go too far.
Yeah,
appreciate it. Can I go to the bathroom?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to slide out.
Slide to the right.
Cordell.
Everybody, welcome Tony Barton.
Tony.
I'm just going to go to the bathroom.
All right.
Yeah, I got a pretty cool story about Tony Thornton. Back in the day, I'll give you some great imagery. So when Glenn and I started this podcast, the only open space we had to do it was in my parents' basement.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were in my parents' basement with some really terrible equipment, trying to figure out how all this works. We were literally just a pod. We weren't on YouTube. We didn't have video, anything.
Right.
Tony was one of our first guests, gracious enough to come on the show, mm-hmm. brought a ton of energy. So we love having you on, Tony. The guests love, the viewers love you so much. So thank you so much for hanging with us. We greatly appreciate it.
No, man, this is awesome, man. I remember that day. I remember the first day I was on the show and really getting involved with this 410 Sports Talk. And I got to tell you, this, you guys have grown, and I've totally have a lot of respect for what you guys do.
Appreciate it.
It's a tough job, believe me, to have a podcast and to really develop into something, you know, very, very big. So congratulations to both of you guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
And this is fantastic. So, you know, again, a lot of talk about certain players. Charlie Cole is, you know, his name.
We talk this much about Charlie Cole?
I did not understand. You know, and that's
fine. I don't think anyone did.
But I have a lot of respect for the Super Bowl champion, of course, Q.
That's right.
But he's very good at what he does.
But we want to get your opinion anyway.
Well, one thing I want to ask Tony, because Tony, you know, he's our resident, longtime season ticket holder, fan, seen it all. Oh. You know, when it comes to game day experience, Tony's seen it all. So,
my question is, as far as excitement.
Oh, no doubt. As far as hype and excitement, you know, you've been a fan for as long as they've been here. Can you remember a season that has more excitement surrounding going into it than this year?
Well, what's interesting, this has been an off season of different emotions. You know, it started off, you know, in January and February, trying to figure out who's, you know, what is Lamar doing? What is the next step for Lamar Jackson? So it was a wave of emotions. And then once, you know, draft day comes at 4:05 p.m., and we get the news that Lamar Jackson signs his long-term deal.
Yeah.
And we got a draft in about, 4 hours after that. The excitement started to really boil over. So I would say this has been the most exciting offseason, but also some ups and downs as well. You know, dealing with the Lamar Jackson contract, dealing with, you know, what's next for this team, and then the Odell Beckham signing. And then, you know, so it's been a little bit of an up and down, but this is the most excitement I think we've had for quite some time, especially with Lamar Jackson now, 5 more years, you know, that's his famous line now, 5 years, you got me. And to kind of see some of the weapons that now he has surrounding him. The draft night was only 5 picks or 6 picks technically, but it was really it was a good draft, quality players, and the excitement of this season certainly has now hyped. We have the schedule now. We know who we're playing, when we're playing them, and it's just a lot of excitement now, I think, going into this season. No doubt about that.
Yeah, certainly. Glenn and I were also talking about that. Has there ever been so much excitement around specifically the offense? Knowing the weapons that are there, knowing you have a new OC, just like Kadri said, he's singing, I think, A Brand New Day from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
right? Like,
I love that. We that was a great reference.
Yeah,
exactly.
We were all doing some version of that.
Oh, yeah.
When it went from the new OC to the Lamar signing.
Hold on. I thought you were Greg Roman's nephew. I thought you were Greg Roman's nephew, and I was his nephew.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. Well, everything was Greg Roman's fault.
Right, that's apparently
what it is.
Yeah.
But no, I think honestly, it's fair to. I mean, we absolutely respected what Greg did here. I think it's one of the scenarios where he took the offense as far as he could for, you know,
he took it to heights
we never seen before.
We never saw,
and
but it was time
ever
to move
see
on.
Again. We might.
Well, let's hope this year
certainly
we capture some of that.
Yeah,
when you think about Greg Roman, back in 2019, it was an innovative offense, and even Harb said even prior to the season, this is going to be a transforming offense.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to admit, in 2019, this offense was revolutionary. All-time leading rushing team. Greg Roman was named, to be honest with you, he was named Offensive Coach of the Year or Assistant Coach of the Year that year. And so it was a different offense. It was different receivers. Lamar was just remarkable. And, you know, things sort of went from that point and really kind of stayed stagnant. You know, the team was winning games in the regular season, but they weren't really getting it done in the playoffs. And a lot of that has to do with COVID. A lot of it had to do with injuries. But nevertheless, I think this is a new era. Todd Monken, you know, coming from Georgia, we've seen what that offense was in Georgia. He made, Stetson Bennett the fourth a Heisman Trophy candidate who was, you know, who really wasn't a good player when he came into Georgia, but became a stellar player.
A walk-on, I believe.
A walk-on, exactly.
Well, he was in college for a decade.
Yeah,
so,
he was.
You know.
And, you know, Munkin created an offense there at Georgia that was also revolutionary as well. So I think he's going to bring that here as the offensive coordinator. And I'm excited to see, especially not the voluntary OTAs, but when they really get into camp and start, I want to see how this sort of comes to fruition with this plethora of players that they have and see how they kind of mesh. But I'm excited about this offense and what he could do. But let's not forget about the defense either.
Yeah,
in terms of with Roquan Smith, I got to tell you, this guy, one of the nicest guys you ever want to see. You look at his press. I don't know the guy, but I'd love to sit down with this guy and have a chat. I mean, this guy has got to be one of the nicest guys. Negotiated his own deal. Became the highest paid linebacker in the league. And now he's going to anchor this defense. Mm-hmm. And now with Patrick Queen, with his contract year, you know, he was there early this week, as we know.
We love you, Pat.
We love you, Pat. Patrick Queen. And you see how this defense is also gelling and forming. This is an exciting time for this team. So, again, I'm looking forward to seeing once camp starts, how the players come together. And especially with the offensive side of the ball, how they're going to gel. You know, as Todd of Munkin said, there's only one ball.
Yep.
And who's going to be able to get that ball and how's that going to be distributed? It's going to be very exciting to see as we move forward.
Now, let me get your take on this on defense, because we seen Roquan there from the start of OTAs.
Yes.
We saw Marlon Humphrey there from the start of OTAs. These are two of the highest paid, if not the highest paid at their positions. What is that? I mean, when you see those guys in the building, they say it's important. They say, you know, he says he can still get better. Everybody can still continue to get better. When you see those leaders in the building for football school, clearly they don't need football school. But what does that kind of tell you about their commitment and the kind of direction this whole team is heading?
Well, it tells you about the organization more so than anything else. It tells you how focused this organization is and how they trust the organization. They trust each other. They trust, again, I know we talked about the F-, which is a – I love that, by the way. But we talked about how things have changed within that organization within a matter of 2 or 3 months. Yeah. And just the culture that's already there. And I think that the players enjoy going to the facility every single day. They enjoy the coaching staff, and they really want to learn more and more. And it's refreshing to see that, to your point, from a Marlon and from a Roquan. They don't need football school. Are you kidding me? You know, why do they need to go to school, to know what they do very well and excel at? So I think it's exciting to see those players in camp and doing what they're doing early on. But again, to your point, I think it's just a refreshing to see. And again, I've got to give a shout out to Roquan Smith. This guy, to me, is going to be next level as he continues his progression here with this team. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does.
I like what Eric says. He calls him a force multiplier. That's absolutely what he is. His ripple effect is so profound and so wide ranging to his entire team. I think ultimately what that does, Glenn, and to your point as well, Tony, is that outside of any improvement that they're going to make as a football player in football school, it shows them that late in the year when things are tough, you're bought in.
Yeah.
And right. The whole team can buy into this. If the leaders are bought in, dang it, you better be bought in. Right?
Remember that Monday night game against the New Orleans Saints when Roquan made his debut, and it was a third and four. And typically on those types of plays with the Saints, you know, they ran the ball. Alcamara, you know, ran the ball, and you expect them to get the first down. But Roquan was in the hole quickly, and that set the tone to me for the start of the defensive run that they had toward the end of the season. And to your point, it's a ripple effect. Patrick Queen became better. The defensive line became better. You saw a lot of things happen because of the Roquan Smith effect in that middle. And I think that, to me, is important. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll see that on the offensive side this year now maybe an Odell Beckham Jr. Yep. who can step in now and be that veteran guy. So I'm really excited about what's in store for this team. And they've done some really good things in terms of recent free agent signings. You're talking about guys from the Bears.
Blackson.
Blackson. Yep.
And then the center.
And then the center,
backup center,
Mustafa, who's going to come in. Those two guys are going to make the 53-man roster.
Oh, for sure.
And I can tell you that Roquan had a lot to do with those signings in terms of just his intel and knowing, you know, what the Bears had. And he wanted to bring sort of that energy here.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, there's a lot of excitement about this team. But there's still some question marks. There's no doubt about that.
Well, Tony, let me ask you, how surprised or taken aback were you by the Chuck Clark comments? Because he says he felt disrespected here. That's part of the reason why he wanted out. Do you think that was only because of the drafting of Kyle Hamilton and – and the obvious, you know, ascension that he's going to have in year two? Or do you think that there were some words spoken behind the scenes that offended him?
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a combination of both. And if you remember last year when they drafted Kyle Hamilton, and maybe, you know, Chuck Clark wasn't necessarily in that conversation, and he saw that his virtual replacement was drafted. And yeah, I think he felt some kind of way. He actually, if you remember, reportedly demanded a trade as well after that, and really wanted to see what was going to happen. But then he was very eloquent as, you know, after the fact, to say, you know what, I'm here now. I'm, you know, I was frustrated by the fact that the organization may not have, you know, didn't get really me involved in this decision. And again, that's the beauty of this organization, because EDC kind of looks 5 years ahead, 3 years ahead. And I think that Chuck Clark felt some kind of way. But as you saw, Chuck Clark was the everyday starter.
He
balled out every single game. I was a little taken back by the comments. I think that's something that he could have kept to himself.
Yeah.
I think that with that press conference with the Jets, I think that could have been like, look, it was a great run with the Ravens. Yeah, things didn't work out the way that I wanted them to, but going forward, I'm a Jet. I think that could have been a better – I think he could have said it better. I don't necessarily – I mean, again, it could have been some words said. Who knows?
Right.
But, at the, you know, Chuck, you know, I wish him well. He was a great Raven. But I was taken aback by it slightly, because I know this organization wouldn't treat players in that regard. Right. You know, again, we don't know what's behind the scenes. You know, we don't know. But I just felt that comment wasn't necessary.
It's business, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it's business. Right. It's a business. And keep in mind, Eric DaCosta is the kind of guy that thinks 5 years in advance. He's not thinking about right now.
Right.
He's thinking about this team 3 years from now, 5 years from now. We got to keep that in mind, especially when we think about bringing players in this year, you know, to try to, you know, go all in. That's great. You know, you bring in somebody like a D-hop. But, you know, is it the right thing to do 3 years from now, 5 years from now? So we got to take that into consideration too.
No doubt. Yeah, I think a lot of that is also facing the Orioles and what they're looking at. Because a lot of people are saying, you got all these prospects, look to be pretty close to ready to compete. Why not move some of those to go out and get? So I think both teams, it's exciting that both teams are kind of moving in the same direction. It's not like one team's on the rise and one team's nosediving. Seems like they're both getting good at the right time together.
Good time to be in Baltimore, right?
Oh, my
God. Good time to be in Baltimore. Yeah, it's awesome. Now, what I want to do, if it's all right with you, Glenn, it's all right with you, Tony.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the onset as we were ramping up for the show, is that for those that have come, we want you to be able to ask questions, and we want to field those questions, talk some Ravens talk with you guys.
Yeah.
Glenn and I are literally in, you know, in our respective houses doing these shows and taking super chats, but it's not every day we get to be here. Yeah. With you guys, right? So if there is a desire to ask questions, give us your comments.
If you're not nervous. Like that.
Yeah, if you're not nervous, feel free to do so. Does anybody have anything pressing they'd like to talk about? DK, any questions? Anybody at all? Or are we getting nothing from the peanut gallery?
Bunch of nerves. Bunch of nerves. Oh, you got something?
You had a question you forgot.
I did have one.
Okay. All right. Anybody?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I was going to say, as a fan,
yeah.
How do you feel, like, you know, as a fan, like, just watching everything develop, like, from Monken, like out the gate, you know, like, I'm thinking, I went to the Jets game week one, and but we came out hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, after that Miami game, we came out hot. But it's just like, are we going to be able to come out the same way?
Yeah, now that so basically he's wondering, the gentleman's wondering if with Monken, do you expect him to kind of hit the ground running week one, or do you think this is going to be something that kind of, you know, gets going, builds as the season goes, right?
Is it okay if I take this one?
Yeah, go ahead, Jimbo.
So one of the things I like about Monken's resume is that if you look at his progression as a coach, he's been at a ton of places in a ton of different scenarios and a ton of situations where the skill set of his players is drastically different, right? Up and down, university, small university, obviously Georgia. He's been in the NFL back and forth. It reminds me a lot, and I talked about this when we hired him, it reminds me a lot of, if you remember Nick Nurse, the coach of the Raptors, obviously he just recently like let go, but, you know, championship coach nonetheless. And the thing that made Nick Nurse such an instant success, he coached all over the world with all different, you know, levels of talent and had to create a cohesive unit immediately, right? And so I think Monken can do that same thing because he's had to do it his whole career. You can kind of see it's not a guy that's been somewhere for 20 years and he's tried and true. He's had to work with guys that can't tie their shoes, like put their shoulder pads on backwards, right? Like, you know what I mean? So I think, yes, you talk about starting hot and you know, getting out of the gate quick. I think Monken has been there before and he'll be he'll be really good at it.
Yeah, the schedule sort of favors – well, the schedule is going to be kind of challenging, especially at the beginning of the year because of – well, especially in October. If I remember, they have 4 to 5 games in October on the road. Their second game out of the gate is against the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, we've lost 3 straight games against the Bengals. So I think that to me is a – that,
we split with them last year.
We lost 2 in a row.
The playoffs and then – oh, no, you're right. We lost two in a row. Pardon me. Yeah, you're right. We did win. And yes, right. So there is sort of – you know, that game to me is a circle game on September the 17th where you want to kind of see what can this offense do. We saw even in the playoffs last year that this team they really could have won that game. They really could have won that game if it wasn't for, you know, going up versus, you know, going up, going under, perhaps. But I guess to answer your question, I think Monken, because to your point, he's been in and out of the, you know, he's been in the NFL before. He understands the, you know, the actual rigors of a 17-game season. He's had some top offenses in the NFL with Tampa Bay and Cleveland. And now coming back and being that offensive coordinator here, I think it will be – I think they can hit the ground running. It's going to be interesting to know how they start, to your point. You know, there's going to be a lot of expectations. This team, you know, they should be 7-1, but, you know, at the 8-game mark. But, you know, it's the NFL, and you never know. But I think it's a big challenge. October is going to be a big month for them, being on the road 4 to 5 weeks. I'm interested in seeing that stretch. At the end of the season, a lot of national televised games. But again, I like Monken's style. He's, again, from what I've been hearing, this guy is very vocal. This guy is apparently, he's hyped. This guy's hyped, and he understands that. So,
what I see just like watching their Instagram page, like it just seems like it's a different energy. Like,
no doubt.
He ran out with a video they did.
Oh, yeah.
Ravens, Instagram page. He ran out with Lamar, like, hey, guys, I'm running out here with Lamar.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it's a different energy with the team. No doubt. Like, especially with the offense, it just seemed like.
Yeah.
Kind of like a cloud over it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Lamar seemed more free, more willing to play now. I mean, I felt like we could have went to the Super Bowl alone last year because the defense was like top tier, like Roquan, everybody. But it was just the offense.
And that speaks to Condre's point in terms of just releasing all of that, you know, all of that.
That bad energy.
That bad energy that we've had over the last maybe 2 years, you know, 3 years. And you know, again, doing well in a regular season, it matters. Because it sets you up, but you got to now win in the playoffs, and that's where, you know, we've fallen short. And I think that this team now has an opportunity to do that going forward. So to your point, there's a lot of excitement. I'm looking forward to it. Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, look, we love our Orioles, and we're thankful that they're going to be entertaining us all summer. But I mean, this is football town. You know what I mean? There's no doubt about it.
How many weeks, Glenn, over under is it going to take for there to be a meme with Monken with the Shannon Sharp, the cigarette right here.
The glasses coming down.
I feel like that's got to happen soon, right? Like he's got the swag.
Well, he's going to hit the ground. I think we will see the Greg Roman effect where we will catch people off guard. People got to remember, when he was in Cleveland with the Browns and when he was in Tampa, he wasn't necessarily given the full control of the offense because Bruce Arians was in Tampa.
That's right.
And Freddie Kitchens was in Cleveland. And the reason Freddie Kitchens was hired as the head coach is because of his relationship with Baker Mayfield and his ability to run the offense. So I don't think we've seen a fully in-control Todd Monken in the NFL yet. Yep. We've seen it at Georgia, and it led to back-to-back national championships with a former walk-on quarterback. So I think that – absolutely, they're going to hit the ground running. John Harbaugh always has his team ready to play week one. We typically smack people in the mouth in that week one matchup because they have people ready. You know, John has people ready to go. And so I think this is going to be another year where every year Lamar Jackson will be in the MVP conversation, but I think he'll be at the very top of that MVP conversation. And am I going to have to make another MVP prediction here, Jimbo? I did 19. Look. I mean, I called it.
Yeah,
here
you did. So I also got to say,
There we go.
I got to shout out my co-host because he, before anyone hopped on the bandwagon in 2019.
I'm back from the bathroom.
to save Kadri from any suspicion, he was back here chilling for a little bit. He was spending the whole time in the bathroom.
I'm 5 pounds lighter.
It's like the Lamar Jackson game. Now, Kadri, I got to get your take on this because you of course, know better than anyone. Everyone's talking about the energy Monken's bringing to practice. Everyone's talking about – everyone just seems they're smiling more. They're more excited. How much does being into it and being excited about an offense help with the ability to learn it and the ability to kind of thrive in it?
So the thing is that you understand you're about to go through maybe about 500 plays before the start of camp. You'll then take those 500 plays. You'll redo those 500. They'll add in another 500 and then maybe 250 by the time the season starts. So do the math real quick, Lynn. Let's go. Let's go.
Hold on.
That's 750, right?
Bam. It's too late. 1250.
1250. 1250.
So you got conservatively about 1250. See, it was that beer that you had, man. Slowed you down.
Blurring the tiger. It's blurring the eyes of the tiger.
Killing you. Killing you. Killing you. But with that, all I know is if I need to learn all that and I need to be on the same page with the nuances of all that, I better have people that can teach it and can help me and give me that flow and that feeling. And I bet from a Todd Monken aspect of things, he's learned an awful lot from working with young dudes at Georgia because of, I'm working with young kids. I need them to recognize, the severity of, why we need to put these plays in to beat, Alabama, or we're going to go to Tennessee and it's going to be sold out. And, here's the offensive, game planning that we're going to do when we play in a national championship back-to-back years. This is why. Obviously, he's probably recognized that and has used that for his own ability. And I think, this team needs that different voice, if you will, because I think it was quite the opposite with G. Rowe.
He was awfully quiet. Me and Jimmy go to every open practice we can get, tickets to, which last year we went to four, including the open at the stadium. I don't remember. Do you ever remember hearing Greg Roman's voice? Like,
no.
I remember seeing Keith Williams super involved with the wide receiver, always in a full sweatsuit, no matter how hot it was out there. It just blew my mind. I remember seeing T. Martin being involved.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever seeing Greg Roman being hands-on at practice. And does that, as a player, like, what does that do for you as a player when you see your offensive coordinators not as necessarily as hands-on as some others?
I see the word aggressive. I see a guy who now talk soft but carried a big stick in Jim Caldwell. I saw a guy who carried a big stick but didn't know how to swing it so well and there's a couple of dudes, but who was our dude before Cam?
Oh boy,
man, Cam. He could swing it around, but he's swinging and missing. You're like, mother of pearl.
Kubiak as well.
But Gary Kubiak. Gary, my goodness, he demanded excellence, and he got him and Rick Dennison. I think Rick Dennison was a good, healthy thing for Joe Flacco as far as just the intensity. So by the time you got to the New England game, it really just didn't matter. They were seasoned, ready to go. I think the defense just kind of puttered out, and you had all those trick plays that kind of spoiled the show. But with that said, Gary Kubiak and Jim Caldwell were two guys that were extremely good and commanded the room when it came to offensive coordinators.
And how does that help with?
He's trying to get a word in.
No.
Go.
I have a question for you.
Because
I had a question for you. I have a question for you, Q. Certainly, you know this, and Lamar Jackson spoke last week about having the keys to the car, being able to now call plays and look at defenses and audible out. But my question is, didn't he have that ability the last two or three years? In other words, it seemed like to me that Lamar is saying that I've never had that opportunity to change plays at the line of scrimmage. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. We've seen Lamar audible out of plays in certain situation. What does he mean when he says that he now has keys to the car, that he's able to call out those plays? I like the kind of
You're looking at an offense that you had to defend 53 and a third. Whereas when you had the G Rowe system, it was more along the lines you just had to defend in between the hashes.
Okay.
So yes, you can look at a defense. So next time you're at M&T, you can't really see it on TV, but if you're at M&T and you're just looking down at the defense, you're looking at what the offense was given, you'll see where they call it the bubble, meaning that defense alignment will be over your center and maybe over a guard, and then you'll have a linebacker over a guard and maybe a DN on the outside lane of your tackle. That's called a bubble, meaning there is an empty spot on a line of scrimmage, and it's easy for me to see that bubble. We'll have an advantage as an offense to go to that bubble spot. I'm oversimplifying it, but at the same time, what defenses like to do is they like to confuse you so you don't go to the bubble. What Lamar had the opportunity to do in that run dominant offense was, you know, call a cadence, the defense would shift, he would see where the bubble is, and then everyone would make the calls, and you would, okay, I'm motioning in a guy from the outside. Now all of a sudden, you know, off you go, and he's just going to give the ball one way, or he's going to hold it. You know, that right there is it's good. It's not awesome. It's not next level. After a certain point in time, teams in the offseason, they start to recognize your tendencies, but you're only defending between the hashes. Now, if you're defending 53 in the third, now Lamar goes to the line of scrimmage, and now he's like, ah, okay, you two deep safeties. You're trying to act all fancy with the spices, but I could see that you're trying to go up. You're trying to come down. You're trying to take away. Well, homeboy on the backside right here is one-on-one. You're getting the ball.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so based upon what we saw on film and what we know about this corner, I might signal out something to my guy. It could be Zay. Maybe not. Not really. But anyway, it your could be Zay, right? Yeah. Charlie Kohler.
Charlie Kohler.
Oh, gosh. You're going to stand on the Charlie Kohler hill while I'm getting trashed on talking on Safe Flowers. How crazy is this?
So that guy on the outside more than likely will be Bateman. More than likely, he is going to dominate, and more than likely, he's going to get the ball.
Gotcha.
So I think those are situations where he has the keys, whereas, you know, he wasn't able to fully drive. He was driving and steering. He was driving and steering a Hummer. Right now, he has a Lambo, and he's straight up just saying, oh, we're going to run, and we're going to run right down your throat. JK, go ahead and dominate. Because now all of a sudden everybody's coming up to the line of scrimmage and there's a track meet down the football field.
Gotcha.
Who's going to get it and they're going to score.
Gotcha.
Now, shout out to my nephew. I'm trying to put the super chat up. Maybe if you could help me, DK. But
super
Tyler
chat,
says
DK.
That, Tyler says, shout out to the missile.
Shout out.
Wish I was there.
Wish you were here too.
Yeah. Jimmy, he says you got to take your hat off. You're too grown. You're too grown now.
Jimmy,
hat indoors. You know, that's what he said.
Jimmy, you know, Jimmy.
You know, I got the lion's mane going on.
Is that what it is?
Lion's mane.
He's hiding something. That's
yeah,
all.
It's too much.
Me, good. Me and Cute go to the same barber.
That's right.
We go to the same barber.
This is a fresh one right here. Too.
Yeah, look, yeah. I was a little low on energy prepping for the show today.
I wonder why. 31 miles.
So I was like, you know what? I don't feel like taming the beast.
I mean, that's so rude. Like, ew, who runs 31 miles and then all of a sudden comes on a show not ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ready.
Like, prioritize, Jimbo.
Like, Glenn, I'm offended
he should have had that time getting his hair did.
Seriously, you know what it is? When he ate that microphone, the transverse colon still is trying to digest some stuff. And that's why he's sitting there 31 miles later. Oh, I got to get it out of me. It's not coming.
Yeah.
Oh, my stomach is killing me. I'll run until I just can't run anymore. Oh,
that's
my
right.
God, I got a show tonight.
I've never been there.
He's trying to make me look
better. Never been in that situation.
You've never been in a situation where you're running 31 miles and all of a sudden you didn't have to take a...
No, I've definitely... Well, look, I can air the
dirty laundry. He'll go. He'll go.
Look, this is... It's never
I mean, does it dribble down your leg and be like,
Look,
it's... Stop running?
No, absolutely.
Would you risk
losing your ass? No, this is runners. This is truth. We're in a restaurant, though, so people might be eating.
Yeah.
Well, look, okay? I'm just going to tell you.
Cordell didn't share none of his food.
It smells so good, too. When his food came
nothing.
Out.
Nothing.
It smells so good.
I even walked by him and said, bro, can I get? No.
I was like, oh. My hand.
Just gnashing of teeth over there.
Just tripping.
But, yeah, I'm committed to it. Glenn knows this because we talk on the phone. That's how we prep shows. I'm running, and we're talking
he's
about
he's running,
show.
Having a conversation with
you
me.
Can't even hear because he's breathing. So
no, he don't even breathe. He just runs.
After we do. Segment one.
No, so, but I think we should. You, just so you know, and for everybody else, if you're eating them, I apologize, but.
You shat it on yourself.
No, I never have. It has never happened.
But he would.
But if it happens, I'm not stopping.
So you.
It's just that simple. I'm just
when you're in the New York Marathon, you don't stop.
Yeah,
but when
stopping.
You're on a training run, you don't go by the bush and just whoop, whoop, and then keep on going?
I've never been in that situation. I'll go home.
I like the sound effect.
I don't want to say the true sound effect. Do you want me to say the true sound effect? We're here at Ellie's.
That's true.
Ellie's is known for its fine dining.
Yes, that's right.
Okay? We want Ellie's to be a place of destination to have sustenance.
That's right.
Wholesome food.
That's right.
That Cordell won't share with us.
No. But I do have a – this is a question for my own curiosity. You played with Todd Heath.
I've never shatted before in a football game.
No, but – well, I'm sure there have been people that have.
Tony Siragusa, rest his soul.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, there you go.
But Tony, literally, right before the game, we were wearing white pants.
No.
And literally, we're playing now called the Commanders. We're out there in pregame. And all of a sudden, we come back in the locker room. And my trainer, Bill T, was like, oh. I was like, Bill T, can you give me a stretch? Hold on, Q. I was like, what? Bill T, what you talking about? You go around to the bathroom. That was before they had like the little scented candles in the bathroom that they do now, make it all the potpourri. We had that. Came around the bathroom. I was like, oh, God. Oh, mother of pearl. Tony, what are you doing? Man, I need a new pair of pants.
Come on, Goose.
Oh, that's what that was in pregame. That wasn't a grass stain. No, 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 it wasn't. There was a little bit of remnants.
Well, I've never been in that situation.
Okay, you shattered then. Go ahead.
Hey,
you know what? I've had a question, Kadri, that I always
forget to ask you. In football.
When you guys were going through that stretch of no touchdowns during the Super Bowl,
why are we always gotta talk about that?
What were the film sessions like? What were the meetings
Nothing.
I mean, how rough was it?
Glenn, I thought we were boys.
don't turn the ball over. And the defense.
Yeah, like,
the rest?
What was it like in the lot? Was it truly no dissension between the offense and defense? Pleading the fifth on me,
I am not pleading nothing.
All right.
He's gonna say, I got a Super Bowl ring and I am happy.
Recently, you'll get it.
Listen, here's the deal. Out of all seriousness, this is one of the greatest teams that I've ever been on. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm not, you know, saying, oh, well, we won a Super Bowl and I'm downplaying it. No, what I'm saying is that we won the Super Bowl because of it being a talented team that was an amazing, great, exceptionally, together team. I as receiver one was offended and angry and pissed that we weren't able to get it done week in and week out, and there were some things that I know happened that prevented us from being out in our best opportunities to score. We're not going to get into that even some 20 some odd years later, but what I will say is I'm dead serious. I literally would walk in the locker room and Ray was Ray, Goose was Goose, Rob Burnett was Rob Burnett, you know. Dwayne Starks was Dwayne Starks, you know. All the defensive guys, Chris McAllister was in his rookie year, and I swear to goodness, I loved him. Dude would always be like, Q, you know I'm going to jam you up today. Listen, rookie. You're not going to be.
Not today.
I'm going to score on you again in one-on-ones. No, wait till I get my hands on you. No, you're not, rookie. And it was as competitive can be. I mean, we just did our thing. Now, Brian was, you know, a different story. He was pissed, and rightly so, because, you know, he recognized his offense was kind of sputtering a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we were moving the ball. We were doing what we needed to do. There were some details there. Like, again, I'm not going to be tripping. But that being said, that stretch wasn't like we were putting our head in the sand and we were just, you know,
phoning it in.
Exactly. Right. Not one time. And right. I think the togetherness, mm-hmm. I mean, the accountability, it wasn't like, you know, we're sitting there and, you know, the guys were like, oh, it's okay. No, it wasn't okay. But it wasn't like we sat there and everyone was, if it was social media today, I still, back then as it was today, I still don't think we would get some, you know, synonymous tweet or some kind of corny, you know, guy tripping and being, you know, cryptic about what we were doing offensively.
Are you talking about Hollywood Brown?
What? Soldiers?
Well,
I might have been.
That's right. Look, I'll tell you what, Nana and I were always friends, but when we locked wavelengths on that, I was Nana and I are friends for life.
We got closer to
because
that.
We get it. We get Nana. It. I'll tell you what, shout out to Nana Rave. Now, I want to say a huge thank you to Tony and to Kadri.
Thank you.
Oh, hold on. One last question.
Oh, okay.
Elvis Gerback.
No.
When they let go of Trent.
Irvis.
And they brought in Elvis.
Elvis, yes.
What was the feeling in the locker room? Because I know the fan base was like, what the hell?
So
I'm giving you the hard hitting questions, Kadri. I don't often get to sit next to the Super Bowl champ.
All right, here it is. This is my perspective. Ooh, StreamYard is down. So that
it's
means
it's still working over there. This is just for me to monitor the chat. You're still on camera.
DK is the best producer in the game.
You're not out here yet.
Damn, DK.
Look, he's hardwired over there.
For me to look at the chat. That's all right.
Yeah, you're not free.
You're not gone.
You still got hundreds of people watching.
That's right.
All right, listen.
So what happened?
I'm sober. So don't act like I'm not. Okay?
All right.
This is straight up agua. That ain't no vodka.
That's right.
Okay? Literally, we had two practices the entire year that were good when Trent Dilfer took over as quarterback. Two. We never, in the Brian Billick time of me knowing him, the 4 years when I was in Minnesota, ever repeated a play. Never did we sit there and like, oh, we're just going to do it till we get it right. When we had those two practices, one was at the very beginning when Trent took over. Unfortunately, Tony Banks would have an amazing arm, amazing talent, but then fumble a snap or throw it to the wrong guy when he clearly knew who to throw it to or go through his progression and his reads. Trent, literally the second practice that was a good practice was the practice before the Super Bowl. It was Perfect Friday, we called it. So he had two practices in that block of time that were good when Trent, I said two.
Two.
So two. So it wasn't that Trent wasn't a great leader. He was. Trent didn't know the assignment. Don't F it up. Let the defense do it. He certainly did what he needed to do. Was he motivating when literally he throws a pick six in Tennessee and the crowd was deafening and we come into the huddle? And then, so I brush my teeth. I use a water pick. Okay, so it helps with the dental flossing.
Okay, all right.
It's a lot more.
I don't know if I can say the same.
The gingivitis is no longer.
Okay, good. Okay. No halitosis?
No holla. Okay. Holla. So literally, it was so deafening that I got in a huddle and I was like. I could hear Trent calling out the play. I mean, it was because you couldn't hear.
Damn.
What is the call on again, Trent? What?
I didn't think Kadri would be. I didn't think I'd ever have Kadri smell nose touching my cheek. You know what I mean? I never thought that would be a thing.
I mean, I had a face mask
that's
on
a thing
too.
Right here.
So you and I just got close.
We got close. Yeah, buddy.
So literally, I heard the call. I was like, Trent. Did you just say, and he said it like a leader should say it. Hey guys. I know that's on me, but we're going to go down a score on this drive right now. I was like, all right, we're in a hostile situation. Never lost before. They got a dominant ass defense. He just threw a pick six, but he don't care. Mm-mm. All right, let's go. And literally we go down the football field. Greg Williams tried to do what Greg Williams does. Greg Williams, defensive coordinator. That too. Yeah. He was defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. A very aggressive play caller. And he had an all-out blitz. All-out blitz. You break off your route. And for me, I was the outside guy. I'm going down the field and I'm going to get it. So I ran right at safety. Trent knew it. Boom, threw it to me. And bam. Oh, pass interference. We get the ball inside. What was like 5-6 yard line. We call a quick sprint right 17. I had the 7. Patrick Johnson comes over in motion and has the quick sprint right. So he's the flat route. And Trent rolls out. Boom, hits the flat route. Samari Roll tries to undercut him. Couldn't do it. Boom, 2 feet in, touchdown. And we win a game. Who is the only team? This is trivia.
All right.
See, for all you young people,
There's a lot of you young people in here. Go back, look at the highlight of the Ravens game against, I think it was Denver, when we won in the playoffs. And there was one young number 87. We don't know him, but he was a handsome dude. He had his helmet, Raven helmet. Yeah. He goes, who's the only team to beat the Tennessee Titans in Philadelphia Coliseum? He had a dramatic pause, looked around. Boom, he pointed down, looked at his helmet, and said, oh, if you pick the Baltimore Ravens, you were right. So when it came down to it, went back to Tennessee, whooped up on them again a second time in the divisional round to go out to Oakland for the AFC championship game. What am I trying to say? Don't mess with me.
That's right. Y'all got the job done. That's all now, what it comes down
we
to.
We did. So the next year, Trent was, you know, I mean, we just had to get somebody else in there.
No, we're about to get real close.
No, we ain't getting that.
Okay,
all right. Ain't that close. Okay.
I mean, share a blanket.
All right, share the blanket. I'm warm. I'm warm already. All right, my bad. All right,
my bad.
Okay. You just crossed the line.
All
right,
my bad. Sorry,
okay,
my bad.
All right. The halitosis from your back molar right there is coming through.
It's the beer breath.
That beer breath. Okay. Water pick. Use a water pick.
All right, my bad.
Keep the setting around 5. But maybe for your first time, you use it, put it at 10. It's a little stronger. It'll help your gums, though.
Damn.
Yeah. Good, healthy gums.
Truth coming out here, ladies and gentlemen.
So that's why.
Hold on. Get back to the story, because now you're hurting my feelings.
Right. Sorry.
Sensitive boy.
You are sensitive. Yeah. But the water pick will strengthen your gums.
Okay, thank you.
And you won't be sensitive no more.
All right.
Bleeding gums is bad. So, Glenn, that's why we no longer had Trent Dilfer as our quarterback, and they put in Elvis Gerbach. Elvis, my guy. 77-yard touchdown pass, longest play from scrimmage for me in my Ravens career against the Tennessee Titans. Again, I was balling against the Titans. Yeah, I was whooping up on them. Man, but anyway, that was that. So go ahead. You were.
I was going to say thank you guys so much for joining the show. We greatly appreciate it. We're going to end the show with our announcement, of course, and we're going to have Cordell come up here.
Am I going to leave now? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Appreciate you
so much. Everybody,
feel free to hang out. I appreciate you.
If you need anything else, feel free to get it.
Cordell won't share his chicken wings.
There's some. Hey, Kaji, get yourself some. We got you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat them all.
You gotta get them before
I get back.
And really quick, we gotta shout out those that are dressing DK, Glenn, and myself today. Round One Apparel's in the house.
Yeah, shout out.
So check out the shirt. You can obviously see the 8 in front.
Hold on now.
Yeah, show it off, Glenn. You're taller than me. It'll be easier.
Oh, they hit that runway. You gotta hit the runway.
Yeah. Hit the runway, Glenn. There you go. Get the walk. Let's see the catwalk. Hey-o. Get the spin. Where's the spin? Oh,
my stone cold walk right. Stone cold
somebody
swag.
Hand this man some beer.
So thank you so much, man. Make sure you guys go check them out. Route One Apparel.
Yeah.
If you want something like this, and they got other stuff as well. So be sure to check
it's
them
nice
out.
Nice stuff. No
That's
doubt
right.
about it.
Yeah.
Now, right. One thing we're excited about here, Cordell, and we're glad that you're here because you know, we know that you're not just not just up on the Ravens, you know what I mean? You cover both the birds here in Baltimore. And we've been 410 Sports Talk the whole time, and yet we admit we've only been talking Ravens. And the whole idea was eventually to start talking and bringing some Orioles segments into it. And so much to the
chagrin
and to the relinquishment, it's probably not the right word. But Jimbo is not as excited. But let me tell you, I've been waiting for this moment for a long, long time. We're going to start talking some O's baseball.
Yeah.
And Cordell, I know that you follow the team. You've been, with them really before they became, when they were the baby birds. And now I think they've graduated from baby birddom to now, in my opinion, they're ready to compete. So,
are they like teenagers or where are they now?
Oh, no, they're full grown. They're full grown adults. You know, they got home ownership. They own a couple cars.
Oh, man, they're full adults. They got bills.
So when you hear the people saying, even not long ago, well, let's wait. Let's see if, this is just more of a flash in the pan. Let's wait till they see the big boys. Let's wait till they start playing the tough competition. When you look at this Orioles team, do you look at this as a team that's still kind of in the works, or do you think this is a team that's ready to compete and should even make maybe even make some moves near the trade deadline to bolster their lineup, get an extra arm, maybe add a power bat. What's your thoughts on, are the Orioles ready to compete now, or is this still a team that's building?
Well, I think they're definitely a playoff caliber team. I think I've seen enough to feel like that this is a team that can, A, beat you in a lot of different ways. And I understand they're having a tough series right now against the Rangers, who are, you know, having a, just as good of a season as they are right now, except they have the payroll to kind of back up, you know, the production that they're getting on the field. The Orioles still have one of the cheaper payrolls in the league right now, and yet they're doing what they're doing. So I do think that they're, and we talked to Mike Elias, was it yesterday?
Yeah, they
were. You know, and you know, he pretty much said he expects the team to be buyers. Mm-hmm. In terms of what or who they'll be buying from, we don't know yet. The extra wild card spot adds a new dynamic that is going to make it tough for teams that may not really be in the hunt to accept that they're not really in the hunt.
Right.
So it does, we're going to, it's going to take some time to figure out, okay, what teams can they buy from, who will be available. But I do think that obviously with Grayson going down, a starting pitcher or two is in their future right now. I mean, and Dean Kramer, I'm not the biggest Dean Kramer guy, but he pitched well today. I got to give him that. He pitched well today. Another quality start for him. Yep. He's kind of been on a roll a little bit lately. But I do think this is a team that can compete. I don't know if I'm ready to say that I think they can compete right now for the World Series, but I do think that this is a team that can definitely make the playoffs. They're a tough out for anybody. They've got the best bullpen in baseball. They've got guys throughout this lineup that can really beat you. And we can talk about the big names like Mullins and Adley, and you know, but you look at it, Austin Hayes in the middle of that lineup right now is the one batting over 300. Crazy. Like, and I think that's a test when you look at him, you look at Adam Frazier. They've got some guys in this lineup now that may not jump at you off the radar when you just look at them on paper, but they've got some guys throughout this lineup that can beat you. So I do think they can get to the postseason. Where they go after that, I think they're very young. They're very young. They don't have much experience on this team, especially playoff experience. So I think they'll have their, you know, they'll go through their bumps and bruises in the postseason once they get there. But I find it hard to believe that this isn't a team that can compete for it all in the next 3 years.
This is my question to you and to Glenn as well. Anybody that's an Orioles fan, there's a lot of people that have been Orioles fans for a long time. Honestly, I'm using my mom as an example. She's a huge Orioles fan.
Yeah. She don't miss a game.
Favorite childhood memory is that World Series back in the day, running around as a little girl with the pennant downtown in the city and everything else. But really my question is, she's been hesitant as a fan to jump back in because she's been so emotionally invested for so many years, and she finally said, all right, I need to step back.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, part of her concern, and mine as well, is, like, is there another shoe that could drop here? Or what do you tell people to instill confidence in them to say, no, this is not
that. This is the real deal.
This is real.
Yeah, I would, and I totally understand that because, and I got to give the Orioles credit because I think baseball is the toughest sport to be a rebuilding team in. Mm-hmm. You could be a rebuilding team for decades in baseball. Yeah. I mean, it's so tough to win in this league.
And the Diamondbacks.
I mean, honestly, they've been kind of in the same spot for a while now.
Yeah.
And for the Orioles to have the year that they had last year and to come back this year and play the way that they're playing, I think that says a lot about, A, the fact that their rebuild was a success, you know. And I know Mike Elias has basically said that they're out of the rebuild. I think that they are. I think now it's about building a championship caliber team. And so for the question that you asked, the reason I'm optimistic and why I think fans should be optimistic is the fact that these young guys that they're leaning on right now, they're not even as good as they're going to be. Adley's not as good as he's going to be today. Gunner is still
not even close.
Gunner is still warming up.
21.
Yeah.
It's an awesome name for baseball.
It is. Oh, yeah. It is. It's an awesome name in general.
No doubt.
But, you know, these cornerstone type players that are already up at the major league roster, they're not finished products yet. And they've got guys that are still on their way up. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about the fact that the Orioles have the best farm system in baseball is it allows them to be able to trade for anybody that they honestly want. I mean, you build the best farm system to trade them. I know people don't want to part with those guys, but you can't keep everybody.
You can't
and we're
play
already
so many.
We're already seeing the logjam in the infield at shortstop. Yeah. We're seeing it in the outfield, and especially in the corners. Mm-hmm. So I think that they have positioned themselves to kind of take what they have, which is already really good, and kind of blossom it into something that maybe we can't even see yet, because they have so many pieces in their system that I honestly believe they could bring in a stud to kind of change their trajectory.
Look, we got
to
bring up the name, Cordell. Shohei Ohtani has been the name I've heard thrown around. He would immediately be our best hitter and best pitcher.
He would.
As soon as he arrives.
He would.
What do you think? I mean, would you – let me ask you this. If you heard that they had to give up Jackson, would that be too much?
That would be too much for me.
Okay.
That would be too much for me. And I am on board with the – I'm an aggressive guy. I like to be aggressive. If I put on my GM hat
earlier, my man,
you know, right. You know, I mean, not many. I'm not saying I could tackle Caudry, but I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? We might have seen if he had reached. But in all seriousness, like when I put my GM hat on, I'm an aggressive guy. I'm all for going for it, because next year is not promised, and you could say, oh, we're ahead of schedule. I think ahead of schedule is the worst used term in sports, because that's assuming you know what next year brings, and you don't. Anything can happen.
It's a beautiful thing about sports.
Right, you know, so I'm all about doing what you can to build the best team you can build right now. That said, I'm not ready to mortgage what I believe Jackson Holiday is going to be for a potential rental in Shohei Ohtani. That said, though, I'm willing to part ways with a lot of the pretty much anybody outside of Jackson, outside of Adley, outside of Gunner, outside of like my cornerstone guy. Honestly, outside of Mullins, I'm not trading Mullins
of anybody they would want.
I mean, there's Towser, there's Norby. You know, there's a lot of young talent. Like you sell the fact of
Stowers.
Obviously the Angels don't have the Stowers, who can't even. You know, they can't even find a way to insert them right now.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to trade guys.
What
like
about
that.
Mateo? I mean,
Mateo too. Sell while he's high. I mean, his value is kind of dropping right now.
But he had a crazy start.
It did. So, I mean, I'm willing to trade anything within reason outside of maybe my 4 to 5 untouchable guys for Shohei Ohtani.
Wow.
Because like you said, he automatically is your best hitter. He's your best pitcher. You talk about now becoming a team that's trying to win it all. You would have to put some sort of respect on the Orioles' name if Shohei Ohtani is here. And I get it, it's a rental, but even if we look at it from a business standpoint, you can't tell me Camden Yards won't be packed for pretty much every home game, especially the ones that Shohei is pitching at.
Oh my goodness.
If he's here.
I mean, it's like the Odell Beckham Jr. effect. When you talk, we brought up that graphic. Odell's followers on Instagram is more than the next four guys behind him combined.
Yeah,
it's just
it's
the
crazy
amount of eyes that he brings. Sitting courtside of the Lakers game.
That's where Kadri got his water pick.
There you go. I mean, he's sitting courtside of the Lakers game. What's it say below his name? It says Ravens wide receiver.
Yep.
So the same effect would have for Ohtani. But amplified, because his worldwide stardom is something we can't even imagine.
No. Yeah. I can tell you this. When the Angels come to town, the media, the press box is jam-packed. It's jam-packed. The Angels have a ton of media, you know, they have a lot of Japanese media members that cover the team. And, I mean, I think if you bring him on the Orioles, and obviously it's a long shot that this would ever happen, but if that was to happen, the national attention that the Orioles would get right now, because I still don't believe they're getting enough as is. And I get it. People are trying to wait and see if this is the real deal with them. Totally understand that. But that all goes out the window if Shohei Ohtani is on this team.
No doubt. He is that much of a difference maker.
No doubt.
On and off the field. I just hope that whatever they do, they don't let Mike Elias out the building, because I got a feeling that there's team execs around the league that are going, how much are they paying Mike?
Right.
And they might want to try and snatch this guy, because every move he's made since he's been here seems like he's been the right one. Even when it was, you know, questions on should they take Adley, should they take Bobby? That was the Bobby Witt year, right?
Yep.
A lot of people. And then this year, Jackson or Drew Jones. Mm-hmm. Drew Jones is struggling mightily, which you would assume from a kid his age. But yet Jackson Holiday's hit the ground running in Aberdeen, which, by the way, we were out there last night to watch the Ironbirds and see the first fireworks game. And of course, He took the night off.
Of course.
I said, I've seen them pretty locks out in the back of the hat in the dugout, but that's as close as we got last night to seeing them.
Well, I still feel like I'm living upside down. You guys talking about the Ravens have the best, you know, farm system.
You're right.
It's like
so many years they were picking in the top 10 and didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just incredible. I tell you what, I want to spend some time with the folks that are here. We had an absolute blast doing the live.
Yeah.
I'd love to hang out with you guys for a little bit. I think we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah, because let me tell you, these Millers are running through your boy.
So we appreciate you guys that joined virtually. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Shout out to DK, of course, for
shout out to DK.
Doing everything. Thank you so much. And then all of our guests, Cordell, thank you so much.
For Tony, sure, man.
Thank you so much. And, of course, Kadri Ismail. Glenn, I'm sure it's a day you'll never forget.
Oh, I mean – Kadri was here. He was here.
It was a lot of physical contact.
It was.
Dude. I didn't expect that.
It needed to be the ring right there. It should have been the ring right there.
Yeah, that was but hey, I love the energy.
Absolutely. No doubt.
I love his energy. He's awesome. So
thank you so much, guys. Yeah. We appreciate it. Yeah. We're gonna sign off. And we'll talk to you soon.
See you. Yeah. Nice.